From Genetic Engineering and Biotechnology News, this is the GenCast Network. Bringing you compelling and in-depth interviews with the biotech industry's leading researchers, newsmakers, and thought leaders. This week on the GenCast Network, Dr. Alan J. Russell, Editor-in-Chief of Disruptive Science and Technology, a new bi-monthly peer-reviewed journal being published by Marianne Liebert Incorporated, is interviewed by Gen's Editor-in-Chief John Sterling about the need for this journal and the editorial path it will follow.
Dr. Alan Russell is a distinguished university professor of surgery and the founding director of the McGowan Institute for Regenerative Medicine at the University of Pittsburgh. For the last 15 years, his laboratory has been discovering what can be achieved by exploiting the rich interface of chemistry, biology, and materials. Dr. Russell's work has impacted fields as diverse as chemical and polymer synthesis to tissue engineering and homeland defense. Dr. Russell also serves as the editor-in-chief of a new journal called Disruptive Science and Technology. The first issue will debut early in 2012, and the publisher is Marianne Liebert, Inc. Dr. Russell, thanks for joining us today. Let's begin our interview with the following question. What is disruptive science and technology?
I think that disruptive science and technology is a word that describes something that many of us are familiar with. It's sort of game-changing science and engineering. The benefits of science and engineering, when you hear about work that's been done, are sometimes hard to see, hard to visualize. But for disruptive science and engineering, I think the public and other scientists just immediately recognize that if this is real, it's really, really important, and it really changes the whole way we look on how to treat a disease or how to accomplish something that's important. And I think the nature of that is that if it's really important and if it's highly disruptive, if it's going to change people's lives and alter markets that already exist, then by its very nature, it's going to be somewhat resisted by the status quo. And there are many examples that we could talk about later.
And we certainly will. Why does there need to be a journal like this?
I think that for many people that do disruptive work, that do work that really changes an existing paradigm, the very hardest thing that they have to do first is convince a world-class journal to publish their work, because the nature of their work is that it is kind of going against the grain. And actually, philosophers of science like Kuhn from Stanford have done a great deal of writing on the topic of evolutionary versus revolutionary science and how it works. And most people would recognize that the status quo is defended by people that believe passionately in it. So we believe that a new journal really could provide the forum in which this kind of work could be published and could have a very significant impact from the earliest possible days. So rather than an innovator spending 5 years trying to convince a journal to publish something that 20 or 30 years later might win a Nobel Prize, the journal that's custom designed to both review and select the best disruptive work that's out there.
Let's pick up on that theme. What specifically will the journal focus on?
It's a little bit like asking John how long is a piece of string. You know, the focus will be on disruption. That's going to be the unifying theme. And, of course, many different markets, many different needs of society can be disrupted. So it's not just life science that might disrupt, for instance, the health or energy markets, but we're interested in space, we're interested in an environment, we're interested in energy. Our focus is on finding work, finding science and engineering, both basic and applied, that really changes the way people think and changes the possibilities that exist. And so we've chosen not to focus on a specific area, but rather to focus on the disruptive element of the work.
You used the term game-changing earlier, and you just used the word changing again. Game-changing in which ways?
Well, again, I think in my mind and in the mind of the editorial board that's come together to create this journal, game-changing really means something that will impact society. It's going to impact people, not just impact science. And that's really what we mean by game changing. So, you know, if we think of some examples from the past, one could think of this year's Nobel Prize, which was given for the discovery of quasi-crystals. At the time that they were discovered in 1982, it was very difficult to prove that they really existed and have anyone take it seriously and believe it. And 40 years later, the Nobel Prize is awarded for that work. And that work has led to very significant changes in what kinds of materials can be made and how we understand how to make them. So I think that kind of work at the outset was game-changing. It just didn't have anywhere that it could be published early on.
As we mentioned earlier, the scientific method is by nature conservative. Now, the plus side of this approach is to ensure the integrity of scientific research. The flip side is that new but promising ideas are sometimes overlooked or maybe even outrightly dismissed by the scientific establishment's status quo. How will the journal navigate between these two views of what might actually constitute good science?
Well, this is going to be the hardest thing for the journal. We certainly don't want the journal to be a place where crazy ideas are promulgated. That's really not the point. For a large part of science, you know, people are very proud of the work they've done, and if they're incredibly proud, they will submit it to journals like Science and Nature, which have developed a reputation for being broad-based and appealing to a very broad audience. And very often, the work will come back from the review process saying, this is really great science. The scientific process has been applied very well, but it just isn't really important enough. And the author will scratch their head and think, well, the reviewers and the editors just didn't get it. This really is important. It's game-changing. This is why. And then they go away and they publish their work in a specialist journal. So I think a lot of times, paradigm-shifting work can be recognized as being great science. But sometimes expertise is a threat to innovation, and sometimes the status quo and the people in the field aren't always the very best placed people to recognize when work is actually really important and paradigm shifting within their own field. So what we're going to be doing is deploying both very careful scientific review, which is focused on how was this science done, what's the quality of the science and engineering that's actually been accomplished. And then also, we will take innovators, investors, venture capitalists, big thinkers, people that really understand and can identify innovative things, and we will be asking them to chime in on whether the work that's being written about is actually innovative and disruptive. So my sense is that much of the work that you're talking about is actually great science. It just is not identified early enough as highly innovative and disruptive.
Will the journal itself be disruptive about the way it publishes research?
I hope so. So we're right now looking at ways to ensure that we don't have gender bias in selection of papers for publication, which is an issue that is relevant to really all scientific journals, and the issue hasn't been appropriately solved, so we're looking at some unique and interesting ways to address that issue. It's very close to my heart. In addition, we're going to look at a variety of different ways to actually engage in helping authors write papers, and we're going to be using, I think, some quite disruptive review practices. And just in general, I hope that we can use this journal as a launching pad for new ways of thinking about how journals should be involved in the work that's published. Oftentimes, the journal is almost like a referee. They just keep the score, but they don't play the game. And we're interested in using this journal really as a forum for the people that publish within it. We'd like to use the journal to track the success through to the development of metrics, track the success of the work that it's selected to publish, and really be a place where scientists, both basic and applied, and engineers and innovators can meet and understand each other's work. For example, we'll be asking all authors to do whether they're podcasts or videos or audio files that can be linked to specific figures in their papers where they will actually explain in words and establish a direct communication with the reader. They'll explain in words what a particular figure means. So we are going to try and push the envelope a little on how the work is published and you know, hopefully preach to the choir.
Now, in addition to yourself, who else is going to be involved in the editorial aspect of overseeing this journal?
Well, the editorial board is about 30 strong. It's a great board. My senior executive editor is Aubrey de Grey, who's a very big thinker and a very noted scientist in the area of rejuvenation research. Names like Dean Kamen, Ray Kurzweil, Clayton Christensen, many others in the innovation space. And then some of the world's leading scientists, people like George Whitesides from Harvard, have agreed to be part of this experiment. And I think one of the reasons that such a unique editorial board has come together with such interesting and diverse backgrounds is that this is not a what you might call M plus one journal. You know, there are thousands of journals out there. But the idea here is that this journal will fill a space that is unfilled at the moment. And I think everybody's really excited to get to work and turn the journal into something really useful and important.
I'm John Sterling. Thanks for listening. If you would like to comment on this week's podcast, please go to our podcast section at www.genengnews.com and give us your thoughts. We'd really like to hear from you. Bye for now.
To learn more about topics discussed in this GenCast, or to listen to previous GenCasts, visit our website at www.genengnews.com. For the Gen Publishing editorial staff, I'm Jonathan Ellinghaus, saying thanks for listening to the GenCast Network.